David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hi, this is Stacey from The Advisor, and today I'm very excited because we have Sander Vance Dee here today, and he is the founder and owner of Moral Eats. And I'm so excited today because he also is part of our community. He has his own podcast in our community, and I think you should go check it out because he talks about a lot of important things when it comes to food and nutrition and health, and it's something great you should look into. Now today he is going to talk about, and he's going to hit some topics about raw milk, and you're going to find this very interesting because it's an amazing topic that I think a lot of people don't really understand. And when it comes to health, everything you put in your body has a huge impact on how we act, how we can prevent illness, how we can be healthy, and how we can inject longevity in our lives. Before we begin, though, I just want to give a quick shout out to the Happy Wellness Expo. They're going to be in Livingston, New Jersey, and they are going to have over 100 exhibitors there. They're going to have natural products there, and they'll have many exhibitors who are coaches in the healthcare field, doctors, and they'll have lots of different technologies also. And they'll be giving away a lot of products to a lot of people. So check it out. It'll be in the description box. And Sander Van Listy, I am so excited to have you on the show. So why don't you just tell everybody a little about yourself? Because if they didn't see your other episodes, they can just give them a little brush about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, I'm a Dutch immigrant, actually. I immigrated to Canada together with my parents when I was 4 years old. And we moved to Canada because my dad and my uncle farmed together in the Netherlands. They milk cows there. And then the gulden at the time, which is now the euro, and like the difference in land prices worked out in a way that they were able to sell their one farm in Canada and in the Netherlands and move to Canada and split up and each have their own farm. So I grew up on a dairy farm and always been passionate about animals, loved animals since I was a little kid. Always knew I wanted to do something with animals. So then when I was getting to the end of high school, I actually applied to vet school first because my parents always told me that if there's any sort of doubt in my mind, I should always explore that first because farming can be pretty tough sometimes.
Right.
So I went to vet school and I did my undergrad in biology and got my application ready for vet school. And around that time, that's when I changed my mind and came home to the family dairy farm instead. And never looked back from there, but always been kind of passionate and had lots of ideas of how I can improve things around the farm. But it was around 2010 is when I graduated, came home to the dairy farm. 2015, we moved the animals over to a new facility, a new dairy barn, and the cow's health improved dramatically, but my own health, ironically, at the same time, started to slip. So that kind of led me down a kind of a separate journey. It was a real inflection point in my life where I was questioning my health choices, but also how we farmed. So that got me going. I was especially interested in animal welfare, how I could improve the lives of farm animals because they've done so much to improve my life. They bring so much joy to my life that I wanted to find ways to improve their lives as well. And that line of thinking led me towards regenerative agriculture and a lot of things that we're doing around our farm right now, all trying to transition the farm to regenerative practices and also a lot of other experiments that I've been running on the farm, like calf a foot dairies and stuff like that. It's trying to find ways that we can have the dairy cows raise their own calf, which I might touch on that on another day. But today, yeah, I was hoping to speak about raw dairy.
Yeah, I would love you to, because I think a lot of people don't know much about raw dairy. And, you know, you go into a grocery store, you buy your milk, and, you know, they don't think about, you know, where it's coming from, you know, who's making it, how they're making it, what they're putting into it. So explain to people what raw dairy is and maybe the difference between raw dairy and buying regular milk, you know, from a commercial, you know, company that has a farm and, you know, the differences between the two.
Yeah, like there's a lot of claims around raw dairy that you hear. Like if you're lactose intolerant, you should drink raw milk. If you're allergic to dairy, you should drink raw milk instead. Or if you have allergies in general, raw milk is amazing. Or if you have asthma or eczema, raw milk's helped with those too, apparently. Or like if you want to have an exercise recovery drink, the best thing you can drink is raw milk. Or even like some of those extreme endurance athletes, like those like the Ironmans or like ultra marathons, if you're drinking the raw milk, helps recover from those extreme bouts of endurance as well. So there's a lot of claims. So I want to, talk about those, but also like what milk is, and then the effects of pasteurization, homogenization, and the science behind it. And the last thing I want to talk about is like whether or not it's safe to drink raw milk, because that's the button topic. So it's gonna be a wild ride. But to be clear, like about my position, milk, whether it's raw or processed, is a nutritional powerhouse. Like it's got all sorts of proteins and healthy fats and minerals and vitamins. So it's an amazing product. And like to speak to that, like in Canada in 2022, there was a baby formula shortage, and the only other food that came close for a temporary basis to feed to your kids or to your babies would be whole milk. That's how amazing of a product it really is. So but then like it's not the same as raw milk. Raw milk and pasteurized, homogenized milk is different. Because raw milk, it's a living food. It's the most alive food that you can get. And when you consume it, it starts breaking itself down in your gut. It starts digesting itself, all while colonizing your gut with healthy bacteria. So it's a very unique product that way. So what's in raw milk? Like there's the healthy fats. You have your cholesterol and your saturated fats, which there's a lot of controversial information on the internet about fats and what's healthy and what's not, but our brains are 20% cholesterol, and our brains are 60% fat. Every cell membrane is mostly saturated fat with cholesterol. Every membrane of every organelle inside every cell is a lot of saturated fat, a lot of cholesterol. So it's not just an energy source, it's a building block for your body that your body needs. And then there's the lactose in it. And like that's the carbohydrates, that's the sugars in the milk. But the unique thing about raw milk is that it also contains lactase, which is the enzyme that breaks down the lactose. So that's why it helps so much for people that have have trouble digesting lactose, because the milk will actually digest it itself. And not just the enzymes in there, but there's actually bacteria in the raw milk that helps digest lactose. And the fats as well, there's enzymes that break down fats. There's lipases in the raw milk that help digest the fats. And then proteins, the two major proteins in milk is casein and whey. And they're also accompanied with a protease enzyme, an enzyme that breaks down proteins. And the whey is really unique because it's actually a signaling molecule. It's they call those cytokines. It's not just protein, it's not just amino acids for your body, it's a signaling molecule. It stimulates your immune system and signals to your body to and the cells in your body to perform certain tasks. And for example, not whey itself, but there's other cytokines in milk that can stimulate, like it's been shown in cats, to stimulate the growth and development of their gut and the maturation of their gut. So as they grow, their gut matures. So that's partially why it's so beneficial for people who are running ultra marathons and extreme endurance bouts, is because when you're under that much stress, so much physical stress for such a prolonged period of time, their guts start breaking down. There's gaps in the linings of their gut. So milk presumably would help a lot with that as well, because it's been shown in calves how it matures and heals their gut. So it would do the same, I would believe, in people. And then also there's enzymes in milk, which is another type of protein, but enzymes, there's 60 different functional enzymes in raw milk that perform all sorts of different tasks, like I was talking before about breaking down the nutrition in raw milk. But there's also an enzyme for every mineral in the milk that helps absorb those minerals completely. So those are all, they all perform functions in your gut and in your body that you, and it's not just like the enzymes, then you also have like the vitamins and the minerals themselves. Like there's every required fat and water soluble vitamin can be found in milk, as well as every essential mineral can be found in milk.
Right.
Also every like 24 different trace minerals can be found in milk. And like they're all
Yeah.
come with enzymes that help you digest and absorb them completely. So like yeah, so like and one of those minerals is magnesium. So magnesium is really important for sleeping. So like drinking milk is we quite often do it for our children. They do give them some milk before bed. Like the magnesium in it helps your muscles relax and helps you go to sleep. And
Right.
then towards sleep as well, there's also tryptophan in milk, and that can be used by your body to make serotonin, which is really important to help your brain relax and go to sleep as well. So
Yeah.
like the sleep and then electrolytes, there's a good balance of electrolytes in milk. So just for exercise in general, as a post-recovery drink, it replenishes your electrolytes. It's got the protein and everything else in there, energy in there to replenish your glycogen stores and long-term energy for like with the fats and stuff like that. So there's that as well in raw milk. And as well, there's the bacteria, which I was speaking about earlier. There's the healthy bacteria. And then also there's immunoglobulins can be found in milk. Usually there's much more in colostrum than in regular milk, but there's still
Yeah.
some amounts of immunoglobulins, actual immune cells in the milk. So that like that's really touching on a lot of those claims that people have made earlier that I talked about at the beginning. But like for the rest, there's an awful lot of science behind raw milk as well. And most recently, there's a study that I saw in 2018, where there was, I think, what was it, like over 3,000 adults that consumed raw dairy as children. And from that consumption, they had, as adults, they had more like better pulmonary function, better function of their lungs from the consumption of raw dairy when they were children. And
Right.
then 2006, there was a massive study done on raw dairy in Europe, where there was, I think, 15,000 participants of children that showed less allergies and less asthma for when they drank raw milk. And they controlled for the kids that were on farms, because being on a farm has been shown, or exposure to animals, pets, and everything else has been shown to improve like your allergies and stuff like that. But the raw milk, separate from that, from kids that don't even live on farms, had those same benefits. And then in 2001, there was a study with almost 1,000 kids, and they showed like there's they pinpricks on their skin to see, and then they prick them with the common allergies, and kids that drank raw milk had less of an allergic response. And then another study done in 2001, they had it was like 2,618 kids. They were between the age of 6 and 13, but they had less asthma, less hay fever, less eczema as well. So like yeah, there's science backing up a lot of these claims as well. So but that's unique to raw dairy. Like when we pasteurize it, a lot of that changes. And
Yeah.
pasteurization, we started pasteurizing our milk in the 1980s, because there was 1,000 babies that died in the 1980s
Oh, wow.
from something similar to raw milk. I don't want to call it raw milk, and I'll tell you why. What they were doing at that time, they're trying to use some of the byproducts from breweries, and they would have a warehouse in the middle of the city next to a brewery, and they would put cows in this warehouse and feed them what they call swill, but basically it's the byproducts from the brewery process. It's
Yeah.
their cows were fed basically nothing but the waste products from the fermentation process of the brewing.
Oh my goodness.
And so like these cows, like they're meant to eat a high fibrous diet with lots of grasses, not like a brewery slop.
Yeah.
So like the obviously the cows, they were not healthy animals, and they were housed in a filthy conditions, and the milk itself, it was like watery and like and pale. It didn't look like milk. So they would actually add chalk to the milk so that people would actually look at it and recognize it as milk.
Oh my goodness.
They were feeding this raw to their kids. And then, of course, not surprisingly, filthy conditions, unhealthy animals, unhealthy diet. The kids got sick and a lot of them died. So that's when pasteurization started to prevent all these sicknesses and deaths that are happening in young kids. So that's when, so 1980s on, that's when
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Yeah, pasteurization got more and more popular, and we've been doing it since then. But what pasteurization does is it changes your raw dairy and turns it into what the FDA considers one of the top nine most allergenic foods that you can eat. So it's a completely different product. And I myself, I've struggled with digesting dairy products as well. It was one of the foods that I had to start avoiding when I was starting down my health journey and trying to improve my own health. But now that I'm drinking raw dairy, I'm one of the very few lucky people that can actually drink raw dairy in Canada legally because I produce it myself. You can't, it's illegal to sell it, it's illegal to transport it, but I can drink my own milk. So I can drink liters of this stuff without any issues. Whereas like I could, even as a small little chocolate bar with milk chocolate in it would cause all sorts of issues in the past. But yeah, so when you're pasteurizing, you're heating the milk up to like 160 degrees Fahrenheit or around 72 degrees Celsius. That's where you start killing off the harmful pathogens that might be in the milk. That's what they're after. And so they hit that temperature, but when you have all this energy and all this heat in the milk, you're changing the shape of the
Right.
proteins. And the shape of the proteins, that's what like enzymes, they perform their functions based off of the shape that they make. So when you're changing the shape, or they call denaturing, you denature these proteins, they can no longer perform the functions anymore. And to that point, one of the ways they test whether your milk is properly pasteurized is if the enzyme alkaline phosphatase is no longer working. And that is an enzyme that actually helps you absorb calcium.
Oh, wow.
And calcium is one of the nutrients in milk that people talk about the most. Like you gotta drink your
Yeah.
milk, get your calcium. But yeah, with pasteurized milk, the enzyme that helps you absorb it is measured to make sure to not be active anymore. And that's how they know whether it's properly pasteurized or not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so then and then like the let alone like the vitamins as well. Like the vitamins, they're denatured as well. They're not as functional or as potent as they once were when the milk was raw. And like the minerals, like I said, every single mineral has its own enzymes that helps it absorb and digest. So most of those minerals are affected as well and how well your body can utilize them. So like there's anywhere between 38 to 80% decrease, depending on which nutrient you're talking about. There's a decrease in the way your body can use that vitamin or mineral. So that's pasteurization. Homogenization is done very much to improve the shelf life of milk because regular raw dairy, the milk, the fat separates and you just let it sit out and you'll get a layer of fat on top of it.
Right.
And it doesn't look as pretty, but it's also, it affects the shelf life and how long it is stable for. Because if I let some raw dairy sit out in the kitchen counter,
Yeah.
The next day, I'll have sour cream on top. 2 days later, I'll have cottage cheese. So like, it won't be like a liquid milk that you can drink anymore. So
Right.
they homogenize it by putting it under pressure and forcing it through a small, like tiny screen. And then the fat globules, they break up. The membranes around the fat globules break up, and you end up with a bunch of small, much smaller fat globules that stay in solution a lot better. And but because you broke up the fats and the membranes of the fats, they create new membranes around these smaller fat globules, which
Yeah.
are often done with like casein and the whey, like the proteins in the milk.
Yes.
And some people believe that process is partially a reason why you might have a stronger allergic response to homogenized milk than you would for unhomogenized milk, because you might be absorbing some of these small, tiny fat globules with the full size caseins and stuff embedded, like the proteins embedded in there. So
Yeah.
it hasn't been proven yet, but that's what a lot of people think might be one of the issues with homogenization. And also, like a lot of the fat soluble vitamins, your vitamin A, D, E, and K, they're
Yeah.
very sensitive vitamins. So just being smashed around like that damages these fat soluble vitamins as well. Yeah, so that was quite a lowdown. I'm not sure if I missed anything there, but yeah, like the next thing that I would like to touch on is the big question is raw dairy safe?
Yes.
So there's like when your people are worried about raw dairy, what they're really worried about is contamination. And because inside the cow's udder, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just the process of collecting it and then bottling it and putting it on your shelf, or and like somewhere in between there, again contaminated. And they've found all sorts of very nasty pathogens in milk over the years. Like they found like E. coli, strep, Staph aureus, Listeria. Like there's a Campylobacter. There's a long list of really nasty bacteria that they have found. So like that's they say it's unsafe. It's not worth the risk, is what we're told. But like raw dairy is unique because there's actually some of the enzymes in raw dairy actually have antimicrobial effects. They
Okay.
actually so they actually help fight off pathogens in the milk. So some of those would be lactoferrin is an enzyme, xanthine oxidase, lactoperoxidase is an enzyme that all have these antimicrobial effects. But
Yeah.
also the niacin, which is one of the B vitamins, the niacin in milk, it actually affects how well these pathogenic bacteria can come into our body. Like having a niacin in the milk decreases how well these pathogens can enter our body. And then there's bacteria in the milk as well. Like the healthy bacteria, they outcompete the pathogenic bacteria, because
Right.
like if it with the case of like pasteurized milk, where there's no life, there's no competition. If that gets affected or gets contaminated, the pathogenic bacteria can just explode because there's no competition for the resources.
Wow.
But there's one bacteria in particular, Lactobacillus, that it decreases the pH of the milk over time.
Right.
And that pH actually makes it so that it's a less ideal environment for pathogenic bacteria to grow. So there's lots of natural defenses in raw milk that you wouldn't have after you pasteurize it.
Wow.
So but milk is not unique. Like any food can be contaminated.
Yes.
It's like you hear all the recalls all the time, especially with anything like fruit, vegetables. It doesn't really matter. There's
Yeah.
lots of recalls. It's not unique to dairy. So what we should do instead of just pasteurizing in order to keep our milk safe, like why don't we just test our milk and test
Right.
every batch to test whether or not it's safe? Like it is such a it, it's such a more logical conclusion to like
Yeah.
there might be something in here that could get us sick. But like And like, there's also other things that we can do. Like, if we know that the milk is being produced for the raw milk market, you can take extra steps to ensure the sanitation of that milk to prevent contamination.
Yeah.
And like, people do that. Like, that's actually happening. And if you look at the actual numbers of illnesses and breakouts and stuff like that over the years since 2005, the chances of getting sick and the number of illnesses has decreased by 70%. So like we're making progress. Like
Yeah.
it's a good road to go down. And the last time anybody has died in relation to drinking raw milk was 2014. So as of today, that's 10 years without a single person dying.
Yeah.
And like I personally looked at the data from 2014 of the number of people that get sick drinking raw milk, and it's only about 3.2% of the population in the US
Wow.
that drink raw milk. But if you look at like and you take that into account as far as the number of people that are hospitalized or get sick from drinking raw dairy, you take
Yeah.
a smaller portion of the population. You can do some math on it. And I found that if you drink milk every single day for an entire year, your chances of getting sick yourself is 0.075%
Wow.
after a whole year. So that works out to being about like if you drink milk every single day, you'll get sick about once every 13,000 years.
Wow.
So that's the data based off of like what's actually collected off people consuming raw dairy. So it's nowhere near as high of a chance as you would be led to believe.
Yeah.
And they're constantly making improvements towards sanitation, and like those ratios are decreasing over time. So like if you compare 10 years, not a single person has died from raw milk.
Right.
If we compare that to alcohol, every single year there's 140,000 people that die from consuming alcohol.
Wow.
What's the real danger? Like what is causing the real risk to consumers? So like
Yes.
or like the drinking Coca-Cola or eating fast food or candy and stuff like that. Like these are foods that we know is unhealthy. We
Yes.
know causing chronic disease, causing issues. Like there's like 100% chance that these
Yeah.
are not good for you. Whereas like we take that and then we compare that to raw dairy. Why are we so strict about making it illegal to drink raw milk when you
Right.
compare other foods that are given the stamp of okay, and they're it just the, you can't really make that comparison as far as the dangers of it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to me. Like we should be able to choose ourselves whether or not we think it's worth the risk. We can do our own research and make our own choice. So we don't need the government to make that choice for us.
I agree. You know, I think people don't really know enough about it. You know, I think people, there's too many myths out there. You know, people don't realize it, but when you buy that, you know, milk, like if you ever read Vegan versus Vegetarian, they talk about what happens on these farms to these cows. And if you read, you know, what these pasteurized these cat these some of these farms do to these poor cows, you would never want to drink milk again. But people, you know, they would keep them in such a confined area where they were so pressed against each other that their hoofs would become deformed. And then when one cow got sick, they inject everybody with antibiotics, and then they would inject them with hormones to make these cows produce more milk and get bigger. And so
Yeah,
people,
those hormones they inject it so that you don't even have to breed the cow anymore. Normally, a cow only starts producing milk after it's had a calf, but there's
okay.
that you can inject so that you don't have to keep getting them pregnant. Normally, it's about a 1 year cycle or a little bit more than a 1 year cycle where they produce milk, and over time, that milk production decreases, and then you get them pregnant again. They have another calf, and then the milk production increases again. For so like that's a normal cycle. But like you can hijack that with certain hormones, and you can make it so that milk production doesn't drop over time. It stays steady. So you
I
have
see.
higher milk productions. But luckily in Canada, that's illegal. But
Thank God.
a lot of milk processors in the US don't allow it either. But yeah, it's just another example of some of the things that happen. But yeah, and like, as far as like
But
the
that's why people should go to raw milk, because when you see what happens, a lot of young girls at 8 years old were developing because of the hormones injected in the milk. I don't think people realize that you can drink raw milk. I don't think there's enough of, just people just don't have the knowledge in front of them. They don't realize it.
Yeah, it's a very unique product, like I was talking about earlier. It's very unique, and like, and then the thing too, like when you're consuming raw dairy, typically you're buying it directly from a farmer, so like there's that accountability. It's not a mass-produced dairy product where the farmer has no idea who's drinking it, and they don't have that same level of accountability when you're actually meeting the people. You're shaking their hands, and then dropping off those milk products. Like there's when you do it that way, there's a deeper level of pride and responsibility along with it. But, and also like the consumer, they can ask the farmer questions. So they can ask how that milk was produced, how those animals are handled, and how they're raised. So you can make sure that these animals are being produced, this food is being produced in a way that you agree with. That's like, that's how you want these animals to be raised. So you have so much more power when you're doing it that way.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And that's the way it should be, because like you mentioned earlier, the food industry, if you saw some of the food, most of the food, there's a large majority of food in America that is made in America, but it is not allowed to be sold in other countries because it is so unhealthy. The way they produce it and commercialize it, the dyes they use, some of the things they inject into these foods. It's so unhealthy that other countries won't allow it to be sold in their countries. And it's very, the food industry in lots of areas is very corrupt, but people have to understand there's other ways that you can get healthy food, like raw milk, and I don't think people realized until, probably until they hear someone like you speak about raw milk, the benefits and how it's so healthier for you. But because in America, we have so many people with allergy problems now. We have so many people with all these dairy issues, and they're all drinking those commercialized milks, that have the hormones in them, that have, that have been pasteurized the wrong way, and they're getting very sick from it, but they continue to buy it.
Yeah, but it is decreasing over time. I think there's about a 1% decrease per year of fluid milk sales. And I think a lot of that is like what you're saying about there's like the epidemic of autoimmune conditions in the developed world. And I think a lot of that, yeah, it's like it can be improved, or you won't react, at least to dairy, if you have that as raw, because like you have like the different kind of caseins in milk, and this A1 and A2, those are two different kind of casein proteins. And a lot of people react and have an immune response to the A1 casein, or more accurately is one of the breakdown products of the A1 casein. So it turns into BCM7, beta casomorphine 7, and that's what causes some sort of immune response in our body.
I see.
But when it only breaks down to BCM7 after it's been pasteurized, after
I
it's
see.
natured. So if you're drinking raw milk, it doesn't matter what kind of casein it is, it doesn't break down to BCM7. It doesn't cause immune response. And then like lactose too, a lot of people react to like
Yes, that's a big one.
A lot of people have issues with lactose, and like because it's normal as mammals that we can produce lactase ourselves as infants. But then as we grow into adults, most mammals stop producing lactose. But I think, and like there's some people with certain heritages that prolong the period where they can digest and produce that lactase enzyme.
Yeah.
But it, for everybody, it decreases as you age. But like, you don't have to worry about that with raw dairy because the enzyme's already there to digest lactose as well as
Right.
bacteria. And some of those cytokines, some of those signaling molecules actually stimulate your body to produce lactase.
Wow. I'm glad that people are taking a step up and not letting, they're putting some regulations where they're not letting people, process milk the way they used to. That's really good to hear because I wasn't aware of that, but I was aware of how they used to do it. And it's nice to hear that they're actually putting their foot down and it's starting to decrease over time and they're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, there's as far as like commercial dairy, there's like the overall housing and like the environment and like the management practices have improved dramatically over the years. Like every decade is almost unrecognizable as far as how much better it is for the actual animals. Like cow comfort is something
Yeah.
that it was a massive trend when it comes to designing dairy barns for the last 20 years or so, or maybe even 30 now. But like, and a lot of that is like they need better ventilation. They need more space per animal. They need more stalls to lay down in. They need
Right.
deep beds instead of mattresses, or even worse, they used to just let them lay down on concrete. Like the pressure, these are massive animals, so the pressure points on their joints
Yeah.
is so like you need like deep bedding is ideal. Sand. Bedding the cows in sand, so they're basically laying down in a giant sandbox. That's massively increased in popularity too. So because like these cows, they just do so much better. There's no pressure points in their joints. Their body doesn't break down, so they last a lot longer. And you want that because the older
Yeah.
cows produce milk than the younger cows do. Like it's
Oh,
more
for
efficient
sure.
for the farmer as well. So like the dairy industry has improved dramatically, but like unfortunately, those bad apples remain, and they spoil the dairy industry as a whole because that negative news spreads so much faster than them positive.
Yes. Oh, for
So
sure.
like regulations have improved, like require things that you're required to do as and like
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good. Except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Whether that be for sanitation or milk collecting or cleaning or just in general for animal housing has improved dramatically over the years to the point like now cows can still can live on a well-managed farm a long and happy life.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Now, where can people find raw milk?
Unfortunately in Canada it can't be found.
Okay.
But there's actual apps now where I think it's called Raw Milk Finder, I believe. And you can look it up and actually tell you where you can find some raw milk producers, whether or if it's even available in your state. But yeah, unfortunately, like there's a couple of farmers local to us that tried for a long time to do like cow sharing and stuff like that and push to legalize raw dairy.
Yeah.
There's one fellow in particular from Ontario who did had like a 30-year legal battle with the government to try to
Oh,
legalize.
wow.
And I know there's been like huge legal battles. There's a farmer in BC as well that tried to do some cow sharing, and like pretty recently, there was a farmer really close to us, like a couple that got busted for selling raw dairy on the black market because it's illegal. People still want it, so
Yeah.
that it's getting be it's pushed underground. But like unfortunately, like it's I'm always surprised by how much the government is willing to invest in cracking down on raw dairy. So
Right.
like it's, I don't know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No, and they allow all these other things that are so unhealthy for you. And they allow it, you know, even like the tobacco industry, they have no problem selling tobacco to people. And once you smoke a cigarette, there's a chemical in there that automatically makes your brain addictive to it and it kills you, you know. So let's use that as an example. They have no problem selling that, but then they have a problem selling raw milk, which just blows my mind, you know.
Because it might be contaminated, and instead of testing it to see if it is contaminated, you should pasteurize it and make it illegal. So yeah, it doesn't feel like it's truly in our best interest.
No, it's and that's
It's
sad.
a better way.
Yeah, it seems like it's a better way, a healthier way, you know. And do you think over time you think it will change, or you think they're still gonna really put a big fight about this, or do you think over time it might actually change?
It's something I've been giving a lot of thought to recently because my own experience with raw dairy and feeding it to my family, and I absolutely love it. Digging into the research, the benefits of it is incredible. It's a very unique product. So like I've been thinking a lot about like what would it take to legalize raw milk in Canada? And like that's why I've been researching guys like Michael Schmidt from Ontario who fought that legal battle and ultimately lost and had to give up on it because. And the overall sentiment from the government and from dairy farmers of Canada, it hasn't really changed in recent years. Like there's really no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no signs of them letting up on that. So I don't know, like maybe a better road to go down is through like just talking to the public and protesting it. Like
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a better road to go down than going docking them directly and fighting the legal battles. Like people have done that and it hasn't worked. So I
Right.
wonder if that's a more fruitful road to go down to make our voices heard, that
Yeah.
we be able to have that choice to decide for ourselves whether or not it's worth the risk.
Now, if people want to get a healthier version of milk, what do you suggest? If right now raw milk, it's very hard to get a hold of raw milk. What would you suggest to people who want to drink milk, what the next best thing is until they can legalize this?
Fermented dairy products are great. Like if you're somebody that has autoimmune conditions or something like that, or you're reacting to dairy, fermented dairy like yogurt is an improvement, but kefir is even better. And they're adding bacteria back into it after it's been pasteurized, and that's a big improvement for sure. Things like there's like 100% grass-fed milk, which has better like fatty acid profiles, got some more omega-3 fatty acids, and especially if that is done with rotational grazing and managed in a way of like regenerative agriculture, you can have that improved nutrient density
Yeah.
of milk. So like if you can find that'd be great too. There's some improvements with organic milk as well. Like I've done a lot of digging and research on like the improvements of soil health over time, and they've actually compared farmers that raised or managed their farm in an organic way versus just doing no-till, but still using conventional cropping methods, just
Yeah.
not anymore. And like tillage is one of the big things that affects soil health. So I was flabbergasted to find out that over time, the soil health actually improved quicker with organic management practices that actually use extra tillage to manage the weeds and stuff like that,
Yeah.
than conventionally cropped with no-till. So like with that soil health too, like that you get that improved nutrient density that you can have. And then also there's very tight regulations on organic products so you can be more assured that you won't have all these harmful chemicals in there. Although even conventional milk is still an amazing product. Like I said, that's what we're still producing on our farm. We're just
Yeah.
producing conventional dairy products, and there's we can use antibiotics, stuff like that, but there's a milk withhold that is applied depending on which drug you're using. And I like the freedom of being able to use the most effective drug available when I have a sick animal. I want to get them healthy as quick as possible.
Right.
When you're juggling all these regulations, stuff like that, and you're trying to squeeze in between so you can still ship your according to that label that's put on your milk, you're restricted and you're not necessarily using the best drug available to help these animals. So I like to, that's why I'm still sticking with like the conventional dairy at the moment on our farm. But yeah, there's lots of options as far as like what you should consume if you're having different issues. Also, like there's you can get milk that has the lactase enzyme added to the milk. It's added back in. And like if it's pasteurized too and you're reacting to the proteins, fermented doesn't necessarily help you that much, but you can buy milk specifically from animals that are A2A2. Like you can have
Okay.
heritage breeds, or you can have milk that's been tested that's completely A2A2, so you know you have that the kind of casein proteins in there that doesn't cause that same immune response that A1 casein does.
Now, what type of services do you offer in like what type of products and different types of services that you offer on your farm, Moral Eats?
Yeah, it's like we like I was saying before, we still have the conventional, the commercial dairy farm. So that's still sold on the commercial market. I desperately want to be able to transition on that whole dairy farm over to regenerative agriculture as well. But at the moment, we specialize very much towards like regenerative agriculture, yes, but especially the welfare side of things, trying to our mission is to improve the lives of farm animals. So we have the pastured turkeys. We have grass-fed, grass-finished beef, and then we also have pastured pork, and we also source some sustainably sourced, like wild seafood from
Okay.
fisheries that fish sustainably.
Okay. Now, do you have to go to your farm, or do you have stores, or do you sell to any larger, grocery stores or stores, food stores?
At the moment, almost all of our products are sold through our online store. So we have a
Okay.
online store, and then for people that live in Ontario, we ship directly to their door. We don't ship outside of Ontario yet. That's something that we hope to bring on in the future,
Yeah.
especially once I can move the dairy side of the farm over to these practices as well as our business grows, as Moral Eats grows, and we've
Yes.
built that customer base, and we can have that assurance that we have a market for the dairy. Then I wanted to switch the dairy over as well, and then that's going to be a very unique product. Like I'm moving towards I was talking before, the calf a foot dairy. That's going to be a very
Yeah.
unique. You can't really find anywhere where
Right.
you're trying to improve the welfare of these animals and give those cows that opportunity to raise their own calf and express their maternal behaviors. It's a difficult balance to strike. Because it's not an improvement in welfare if you have sick and unhealthy calves as a result.
Exactly.
So that's what I'm working towards. I'm carefully doing like experiments and improving the management and seeing what it takes to keep these calves healthy in a barn where their mothers are housed together. So like in that environment, how do I keep them healthy? And yeah, I'll talk about it more maybe in another podcast. But yeah, there's some unique challenges to keeping them together.
Yeah, as it sounds like there is, when you see other animals, even dogs, when they're with their younger puppies, there is a special bond in, a special way they care also for the animals. It's really cool. So yeah, I would love to talk about that in our next podcast. Now, if you had to give a couple of takeaways from everything we talked about today, what would be a couple of things you'd like to emphasize that you really think are important for people to understand?
One is like the overall sentiment that raw dairy is a very unique product. It's the most alive product food that you could possibly eat. And because it's so alive, it has very unique benefits for your digestion and for your health. So
Yeah.
like it's a product that if you can get your hands on, count yourself lucky, and I definitely recommend consuming it. But if you can't, I feel like we need to get together somehow and make our voices heard that
Yes.
this is something that we need to fight for, is our right
100%.
choose for ourselves whether or not it's safe or safe enough or if it's worth it for us, if we think it's worth the risk.
Yes.
So I'm not quite sure what that will look like yet, but somehow we need to make our voices heard.
Oh, 100%, 100%. I'm all for that. Because I, like I was saying, I think a lot of the medical issues that people are battling with today are caused by the foods they're eating, the processed foods, the foods that aren't natural, the foods that are getting injected with unnatural ingredients that are harmful to the body. Because we can talk about this in our next session or a session later. But if you look at all the illnesses, diabetes tripled, so many things have increased. And in order to prevent illness, in order to sustain health, we have to really look at the way we're eating. That's like one of the number one causes. I think ADHD is up. There's so many different things. We were talking about allergies and stuff. We got to look at what we're eating and what's being put in these foods. And and I think, like you said, raw milk and natural foods, organic, these are things to be focusing on and really learning who you're buying from. I think that's a great emphasis too, is like you talked about, when you go and you buy from a farmer, you get to know that farmer personally. You get to know what their morals are. You get to know who they are and what they stand for. And somehow we need to make that connection. People have to understand the importance of that, because and maybe focus on going to farm markets for their food. And so I think that's great also. Now, can you tell everybody what your website is so they know where to go?
Our website is moraleats.com. So MORAL eats EATS.com. So that's where you can find us. And then if you're in Ontario, there's a spot there where you can sign up to our email list and have a chance to try some of our products for free. And outside of that, with you can find us on social media as either Standard Advanced D or Moral Eats. That's the best way to find us. Yeah, the last thing I wanted to say before you let me go is that you were talking about the importance of eating healthy whole foods and stuff like that. But like I try to be pretty careful while I was talking about raw milk, but like I have to be careful when I start making these like start talking about the health benefits of raw dairy, because like the FDA makes it illegal to claim that any sort of food or anything that can heal, treat,
Right.
or fix any sort of illness or disease. So like it's illegal to make those claims, but I feel like that's part of our health issues here in the developed world, is the fact that we have that as a sentiment, that as something that's illegal, because like a lot of the chronic diseases that we're struggling with, that modern medicine is struggling to battle, it has to do with our diet and what we're eating. So
Yes.
like Hippocrates said it best back in like 400 BC, like let food be thy medicine. And
Yes.
but now it's gotten to such a point that making a statement like that is illegal. So like
Right.
that's pretty indicative of the issues that we're having.
Oh, I agree with you 100%, 100%. And we had a doctor come on from Harvard, and he spoke about diabetes, and he spoke about if we just took out certain processed grains and we took out certain foods out of our diet and just focused on the more natural foods, you could see that a lot of these things could cure diabetes and other illnesses if we just ate more purely and more clean. And he went on and talked about it for a while, but it all goes down to eating clean, to eating, we weren't meant to have processed foods. Our body doesn't know what processed foods are. So when they go in your body, they're like, our body doesn't know what to do with them. It doesn't know, it has a hard time breaking them down. So it stores it in our body. And when it stores it in our body, it's leaching onto our organs. It's slowing us down. It's causing problems. We're going to the doctors. The doctors are giving prescriptions to help with the symptoms. Then we're getting more problems from all these drugs. And it's an endless cycle. And people have to realize that, just by changing the way we eat and eating more purely, and incorporating a few things into our lives, our lives could turn around. But it boils down to what we're putting in our bodies is really high on the podium.
Yeah, and a beautiful ha thing happens when you start consuming whole foods and like foods that your body was meant to eat. And that is like you can actually start listening to your body. Your body actually makes sense to you. So
Yes.
like Because like your body is so confused when it's eating these highly processed foods that are super digestible, taste amazing. It's got all sorts of sugars and oils and stuff in that in there that like the combination and the way the texture of it and stuff like that, it's all manufactured to taste absolutely amazing. So
Yes.
like body doesn't know how much of it to eat, and then you eat these delicious foods, but your body is still devoid of nutrition. So
Yeah.
your body has all these cravings for more nutrition, but all you're doing is feeding empty calories. So you're gaining weight and you're still unhealthy. You're still devoid of nutrition. It's
Yeah.
like it's so confused and you can't listen to your body. You don't trust your body. You start starving yourself. You're hungry. You don't want to eat because you're self-conscious about your weight or you want to be healthy. You know what I mean? Like you just don't trust your body. But like an amazing thing happens when you eat real food, eat whole foods. And eat the foods that we were designed to eat, our natural human diet. And that is,
Yes.
the body makes sense. Like you crave something that you eat, and all if all you ever eat are whole foods, you start craving certain whole foods.
Yes.
And like in the and like and you eat the foods that taste most delicious because
Yes.
those are the foods. If it's real food, delicious foods is usually what's best for you.
Yes.
If you're eating foods that you're meant to eat, the delicious foods are the best ones for you. So like, and then you eat till you're full. You listen to the cravings and what those means. Like, and then you naturally reach a healthy diet and you become you reach a healthy weight
Yes.
and you become healthy. So like, it doesn't have to be that difficult as long as we don't eat these Franken foods that
Yeah.
confuse our body.
Exactly. 100%. And you'll notice when you eat healthy and clean foods, you get full faster and you don't feel like you have to fall asleep after you eat a meal. Because when you feel like you're going to fall asleep, that's because your body's working so hard to break it down. And so people have to realize those little signs. Those are little signs from your body also. But we could talk about this forever, I feel like. But this has been a great, great, great interview. And I thank you so much, Sandra, for coming on the show today and sharing your knowledge about raw milk, because I think it's really important, because I don't think people realize, how good raw milk could be. And maybe this will open their eyes and think about what they're putting in their body and what alternatives, and changes they can make in their daily diet. And really think about when they're going out into the grocery stores, when they're about to pick up milk, what kind of milk do you want? And if you have, ways of getting, pure milk, to look into those things too, because you want to be as organic as you can and healthiest as you can. Because like we said, whatever we put in our body, we become. And if you want to live a long, happy, and productive life, you really have to think about the food you're putting in your body.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. It's something that I'm very passionate about. It's something that's like I was alluding to earlier. It's been kind of been sitting heavy on my chest, like all the fact that there's this product. Like I produce it myself, but I can't give it to people, and people want it
Yeah.
desperately. And I've been researching the actual risks and the benefits, and it's like the risk to reward. It just doesn't make sense how strict we're being. So this feels good to get it off my chest. Hopefully people resonate with the message, and a lot of it makes sense because like, yeah, it's a very unique product, raw dairy, and
And
like
maybe
dairy.
people will do other things to advocate for you too.
That's right. Yeah. Like I'm not sure what the best way yet to make our voice heard, but going down the straight road of just getting a lawyer and talking to the government hasn't worked in the past. So like
Yeah.
the, And I have no reason to believe that it will work in the future. So like there might hopefully there'll be another way that we can make our voices heard. What that looks like, I'm not sure, but I'm all for it. Whatever we can move and we can create.
I know in America they do a lot of petitions and they get a lot of people to sign these petitions and that starts shaking things up. And and that's maybe that could be a possible way of maybe making them look at these things and maybe put it into consideration as well.
Yeah, there is actually a petition that I've signed in Canada called like the Canadian Artisan Dairy, and it's a website. And then on there you can sign a petition, and they have like example letters too that you can send to whatever people's of office. So like that'd be good for people to check out as well in Canada at least. And like I've signed it, and yeah, hopefully the people can look at that as well to see how much support. there is for raw dairy.
Yeah, because we need raw dairy in America. Because if you saw how unhealthy so much of the food that they sell in the food industry and the grocery stores, it would be sick to your stomach, you know. So it's definitely we need to be stricter. Like a lot of the countries in Europe, like I said, they're not even allowing a lot of the foods from America into their countries. So that tells you something right there. So we need to start really making change and really voicing, you know. I think if we voice enough, eventually change will occur. You know, we just have to really figure out a way that will be most effective. But yeah, you know, I think, you know, raw dairy, I think healthier foods, clean eating, all that needs to be emphasized more strongly. It's not about making money and throwing all these sugary foods and salty foods, because right now those type of foods with all those unhealthy ingredients are just killing people and causing illness. So change needs that definitely needs to be made.
Every single time there's another step of processing, there's another hand in the pot that's making money. So like there's unfortunately there's so much financial emphasis, so much to be gained through processing, because like it's value add, even though it's making us food less healthy and less pure, like that value add, like that every single person that has a hand in there to process it one step further is making money. And
Yeah.
like there's so much financial gain, there's so much financial incentive to continue eating this way, let alone the fact that it tastes amazing and it stays on the shelf for its convenience. So
Yes.
it's an uphill battle for sure, but it's definitely one battle that's worth it, is worth fighting for. And once you fight that battle and you win, that you feel amazing and you won't go
Yes.
back.
100%. 100%. Oh, you know, this has been great, Sander. I can talk to you forever, you know, but you'll be on soon. Like I said, Sander has his own podcast with us, and he has a lot of great info, and he's going to be talking about a lot of other topics, you know, related to food and health. And so keep your eye on for Sander, and we look forward to seeing you soon on the back on the show. And we're so happy to have you in our podcast community.
Pleasure. I look forward to it as well.
You have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.